What's up, earbuds? It's the first episode of 2020. Let's get it. Also episode 50, the big 5-0. As always, this is Nick, I'm joined on the mic by my earbud Mark. What's going on, buddy?
Pretty good intro there.
Thank you.
Good.
Starting the year off right. My New Year's resolution was to not open the podcast with the same intro every time.
Did we get new intro music?
No.
Oh. Take that off the agenda then.
Take that off. Same intro, same buds.
It's a good song.
Yeah. It's been with us since the start. It deserves to be here for episode 50. Maybe we'll change it up for next episode, next week's episode. Put that pressure on us.
Ready for this segue?
What?
Speaking of good songs, did you watch the Grammys?
I watched some of the Grammys. Did you watch the Grammys? You're an anti-Grammy person, even if...
No, like, not even that. It's just like...
It's a commitment.
I just was living my life and chose to play Fortnite instead. And I thoroughly enjoyed my Sunday night. So
I mean, it's like a 2 or 3 hour. It's 3 hours. It's a big commitment.
I like watching the Oscars, though.
Yeah, the Oscars are the number one award show. Grammys, surprisingly, number two.
I just watched the Tyler performance. That was very good. It was really cool.
Yeah, he put on an excellent performance. It was very wild. And seeing all the like backup dancers with the wigs was great.
Very artistic. Yeah, he definitely takes time to kind of think of everything involving like a performance like that, and it's very more than just the music kind of guy, which is cool to see them that get rewarded in some way, I guess.
Well, now he is. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely matured. So I didn't really intend to talk about this, but we might as well. I'm not sure how much you're aware of like the Grammys drama currently with like the CEO, the new person, she left. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know that there is like stuff surrounding that. I didn't really read into it.
So the previous CEO of the Academy or committee or whatever the Grammys has called stepped down, I think like last year, because of lots of women's stuff. That we're not going to get into in the pod. He seems like a really horrible person. They brought in this woman to clean things up, make it younger, etc. And then as of last week, she got like accused of bullying her employees, and so she resigned. But I wonder like how much of these performances that I liked were because of her. You know, like I don't see Tyler ever performing at like a previous Grammy, really. You know, they always take like Kendrick Lamar has to go perform with like Imagine Dragons, which I actually liked that performance when it happened, but it's also like
They usually do the combo performances, so it's interesting that they kind of
They just let him roll with it. And like Camila Cabello had her own performance, Billie Eilish had her own. Usually it's like Miley Cyrus, Dolly Parton, Katy Perry perform. I don't really give a shit about this.
Anyway. I mean, they're definitely, from what I read at least, and seeing some of the awards given out, they're really zeroing in and trying to capture that age range that they want. I don't know if it's paying off in viewers yet, though, for them.
Yeah, I think the key thing you just said was like viewers yet, because like if these artists do stick around for a long time and they do keep rewarding them, I think that's positive for everyone that's like 18 to 24 right now. Mm-hmm. But like everyone we grew up with enjoying, they skip the awards. Like it's just not a credible source of acknowledgement for us, because like Drake, Bieber, Taylor Swift, Kendrick Lamar, Ed Sheeran, Kanye, Beyonce, Jay-Z, who else? Frank Ocean. Like no one goes to these.
Yeah.
Like the biggest artist in the world.
Yeah, we always talk about this when it comes up. But there's just like there's so many critics out there now that everybody has access to. And I think a lot of it too is not like when you find a critic or writer, at least in like with me, you can then follow them on social media, and they like kind of have a personality to them almost. Whereas like the Grammys are this sort of like faceless like committee that is just like, yeah, Billie Eilish or Eilish sweeps, and it's like okay, like cool, I guess. But
I was
beyond
shocked.
that, I don't really.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's very faceless, the Grammys. But anyway, it's kind of the start of the new mu year in music, which I think is I don't even know, valid. I don't know what word I'm looking to find currently for the year, because like the 3 or 4 weeks prior to this of 2020, there's been like absolutely nothing that's been released other than the album we're going to talk about today. That's basically the only album that was any good.
That's right, we're talking about Eminem.
Music to be murdered by. I'm going to murder Mark while playing the album, and then that's going to be our final recording. Now, yeah, we're going to talk about Mac Miller, which is kind of a, that was a weird segue into what we're going to talk about later on. But what, I mean, we'll get to that later. We've got a couple other things we want to tackle before we get there. Before we get into the other news and notes, I guess, well, I said a lot already. It's been a while since we recorded. I gotta clean this shit up. There's our one expletive also to keep that
Thanks.
explicit rating on iTunes. Oh, I just did it again. Damn it. Before we get into the episode, let's, do a little housekeeping, I guess. If you do like the show, smash that 5-star review button, drop us a comment, review, whatever. Follow us on Twitter, Earbuds Cast, Instagram at Earbuds Cast, and follow us on Spotify at the Earbuds, all one word. Also, you can find the podcast on Spotify. I've committed to updating the weekly playlists. I've said it before, but I just did them before the show. So at least tomorrow, January 31st, 2020, we will have updated playlists.
What's the theme?
Women indie pop is the Friday feels tomorrow. The Best Buds playlist is just a bunch of songs that I've
Why
listened
can't it be men in deep pop?
to. Men can have the other the other weeks. I don't know what to say. Men
It's
are
been
really, they're really gonna ha
a slightly slow work week for me, which means I just like search out the worst Twitter stuff
You do.
possible.
Why do you have
My
that,
brain
like,
is slightly poisoned right
can
now.
you, can we elaborate on that? Why do you actively seek out that
Dude, I
kind of
don't
like
know. It's like this weird
horror?
fascination. I'm really good at it now,
You
though.
are. You find the weirdest shit. We should do a new segment that's like the weirdest thing you found on Twitter this week. Just like talk about it.
It's not even weird stuff, though. It's just like stuff
Dark.
that makes me mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just dumb
You
people.
like that pain. I don't know what it is, man.
Yeah, I don't know. If I knew, I probably wouldn't do it.
I don't know. You get joy out of it.
I don't know if that's the right word, but anyway, moving on.
Other news. Schoolboy Q announced an album. That's sweet.
Yeah, that's I hope he does come out with a new album, because I think we both agreed that Crash Talk was a little disappointing
Yep.
last year. But also, TDE is like very strict with and kind of weird with their release schedule, so it'll be interesting to see if they do another Schoolboy album in 2020 and how that kind of, I guess, orbits around like possible Kendrick or J-Rock or M-Soul releases. Or
Right,
those
they're
other
very
guys on the
committed to
label.
like showing every artist in their roster,
Yeah,
basically.
but all at the same time, like they might be motivated by kind of the lukewarm reaction to the last Q
True.
album too. So
True.
we'll see. I'm
Yeah.
taking it with a grain of salt, but
I'm excited.
hopeful,
He's
optimistic.
a very good rapper. Last bit of news before we get into our segment on most anticipated albums of the year. ASAP Rocky and Rihanna are dating, allegedly.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. Any Rihanna news that isn't about upcoming album is disappointing.
I'm numb to it at this point. It should become such an internet thing. Like, Rihanna can release anytime. Yeah, I'm just like, numb to it. But maybe she saw the ASAP sex tape. Didn't he just have one? Didn't something just happen to him?
I don't think he was involved in the recent wave. Or maybe he was.
The recent wave of sex tapes.
Dude, it was like
three back to back.
Yeah.
DaBaby, Steph Curry dick pics, and something else happened. I don't know who else had some.
Maybe it was Rocky. I don't know.
I think it might have. Anyway, whatever. So that's news. That's interesting. We don't normally cover that kind of TMZ gossip. But ASAP Rocky and Rihanna are dating. Maybe he'll have cool love music, because I also was disappointed with his album. This last one, Testing, I think that's what it was called. It's pretty bad.
Yeah,
couple bangers, but that was it. But let's get to some albums that we are excited for. We're going to talk about our five most anticipated albums for 2020 each. Really, there was no like real rules to us putting this together, confirmed or not confirmed, rumored. Things we just want to happen. It was kind of just open-ended, so.
No hold bars.
Yeah.
Cage match of a segment here.
Yeah, let's just do it. Do you want to go first? Because I find whatever you wrote down very intriguing.
Oh, for this number five slot?
Yeah, let's do reverse order.
So, I wrote down whatever the gorillas are doing. Because right now, so a couple days ago, they released something that is called, like, Song Machine Teaser. It was just like a 15-second instrumental or whatever. Then today, a new song came out along with the news that Song Machine will be an episodic series following the creation of brand new songs with new collaborators. It's in direct opposition to the usual traditional release cycle, and it'll have spontaneous episodes throughout the year. The new song today was Momentary Bliss, and it features Slow Tie, and it's like a lot of fun. So Kenny Beats does something similar, or has been doing something similar, kind of with like a look inside the studio, and then he has guests on, but I am interested to see like how the Gorillaz handle this, and I think it's a cool concept, and that new song has me anxious for new Gorillaz.
I think they're a very interesting and artsy group. So yeah, I'm intrigued.
All right.
That's pretty much it.
Number five. Yeah.
Number five is Cardi B. Our Bronx queen supposedly will be dropping her second album, follow-up to Invasion of Privacy, which I thought was one of the best debut albums that I can remember, especially after kind of all the popularity and fame that she gathered before even releasing it with Bodak Yellow. Very intrigued to see if she was a one-hit wonder and just riding that wave, or if she actually is like really good at songwriting and can deliver a second one. So excited for that.
I think it'll be interesting. I like what Money is one of the maybe singles, and there's another one.
Press.
None of those really like stuck for me as much as anything off.
Wow, really?
That first album. But wow. We'll see.
I think Money and Press are savage songs.
I liked Press more, but yeah. Well, I mean, I also didn't like give them a ton of play.
So. Sure. We've grown out of listening to that at like 5:30 on a Friday and just like blacking out. Like, that's not really.
Times are a little different now. But
yeah.
That new Ferg song. Ooh.
That space is saved for Ferg, and it's like one time a year where everyone comes home from work and we're like, tonight's the night. And it's just Ferg. The song bangs. That song is on our on the Best Buds tomorrow for sure.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Number four, Mark.
Number four, I've got Tame Impala, The Slow Rush. This is like as close as you can get to a traditional album rollout, I think, in 2020. They've got like actual release date announced months in advance with a an album title and multiple singles. The singles are kind of fine, I guess. But it's a new Tame album, so I'm excited for it. It's basically my take.
Yeah, I'm also interested. I like Tame Impala, not a band that I like actively seek out and follow. But they were really good at Pitchfork. I will listen to it. That's pretty much all I've got. Today, what's his name? Who's the lead singer? Kevin Parker?
Yeah.
Or a lead singer. I don't even know if you'd call him a singer, really. Just like the lead guy. He said today something about wanting to become like the pop Max Martin or something. Do you see that?
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, just like it was just weird. There's probably a much pretty. Yeah, it's like all I have to like, say is just like it's like a weird comment. Like, all right. You're kind of in your own lane. Like, I don't really know if you need to be someone else. Like, you're doing pretty well. Like,
right.
People seek you out to help them write songs and make beats, whatever. All right. Number four for me would be the follow-up album for No Name, the follow-up to her 2018 album, Room 25. She's extremely talented, and she's delivered two different projects. One's very spoken word, and another one is very, I shouldn't say very, but it leans more into actual like technical rapping, I guess, and less spoken word. So interested to see kind of her progression. She's a very talented poet, artist, songwriter, from Chicago. So nice and local, which is great. Yeah, just excited to see her rise. That's all I've got.
Is that speculative, or do we know that it's
no we out? Know that one's coming, that's it for okay. Sure,
cool.
Yeah, and I'm sure Cardi B's is definitely happening. I don't have a date, but I could imagine her record label is like, it's been too long, you should have released an album 6 months ago.
Like, well, if you weren't pregnant, we
would have forced you to do it. Kind of
there's like a couple artists when I was like putting this list together where I was, you know, look at their past, they'd be like, okay, 2 years in between those albums, 2 years in between those albums. Oh, look, it's been 2 years. But so yeah, those are, I think, probably pretty safe bets.
Yep.
My number three, this has been confirmed repeatedly without a firm release date, but hammered over the head on needy fans on Twitter. Run the Jewels 4. I'm pretty excited. I kind of definitely, it was after the third album, because that's when they really sort of blew up and like kind of went like fairly mainstream, to be honest.
Yeah, they were like a 6 p.m. set at Lala, which is pretty good.
Yeah, it was just complete saturation though, and they were on like all sorts of commercials and stuff, and I was like, oh, these guys sold out or anything, but I just like took a nice like year break from them, I guess. Not really, like they kind of just fell out of the rotation because I was so burnt out on them, but just the past couple days, you find the optimal Run the Jewels is like either in your car or like in a nice pair of headphones or just a setting where you can just get it really loud. And like,
dude, you gotta have a
really
loud.
Find
gotta have a loud
yeah find again yeah not just like in the backing of a commercial, it's like loud and right in your ears, and it's like, all right, yeah, this is why I liked them in the first place, so I'm pretty excited for that. See where they go. Also, I was thinking feature-wise, because they don't have a lot of like recurring features, but they always get interesting features. So do you have any guesses on who we'll see on here?
Oh, wow.
Because it has been like 3 years now, so the rap landscape has shifted a little bit.
That's a good point. And they usually find someone right in the middle, like a very good artist who's not
looking,
mainstream.
Yeah.
It's like Danny Brown, great example. Very good rapper, has a cult following, brings in a new crowd of listeners. They had, what's her name, from 3-6 Mafia. That's going to pain me.
Gangsta Boo.
Yeah. She was great. That's like another kind of like just middle ground. That's it. I don't know. Do you have any ideas? I can think of some while we're sitting here.
So by these are my two guesses. I think that fourth time's the charm. I don't know if they've actively been courting him this entire time, but I think it would be really cool after having Big Boy on the first one if they
Ooh.
had Andre on this
Okay.
one.
Okay.
I think that's probably less likely, but I do think there's a very good chance, and it would be a very cool fit for JPEG to be on here.
Oh, JPEG. I could see that. He's a weirdo.
Yeah, I think that meshes pretty well. And then like they get some cool like hooks or like instrumentalists too. I throw money down. Give me some good odds on Steve Lacy
Yeah.
and Thundercat popping up.
Yeah. Steve Lacy is huge right now. I could definitely see that. I think that's a good bet. If that was only on the Vegas lines.
Yeah,
Yeah.
those would be fun prop bets though for
That'd be
like
sweet.
upcoming Kanye album, like Guess the Futures, but
God.
God.
It's just a God monologue. All right, yeah, RTJ4, we love it. I'll think on more who I think might get on here, and I'll just pop it in during the rest of this episode. All right, what are we on? Number three. Oh, mine is Haim. I don't remember. I didn't write this down. I don't remember when their last album was, but they headlined a night at Pitchfork last year. They played a couple unreleased songs while they were there. They were excellent, and I'm just I they're a very fun band to listen to, and so I'm hoping that like the time.
Hopefully before we're too deep into
Yeah,
summer.
that's exactly what I was just gonna say. I hope it's like a late April release where you're just like,
Yeah.
oh, perfect, I can finish spring with this and lead into June, kind of, give it a really
Yeah.
solid 6-7 week run.
One of
They're
the
really
singles
fun.
is called Summer Girls, so hopefully they
Yeah.
are aware.
They're great. I love Haim. So I'm very excited for their album. Gotta have some indie on here because mostly I'm just we're a hip hop forward podcast. All right, number two, Smok.
Yeah, this is another kind of fully confirmed title, release date, everything. Thundercat, It Is What It Is, coming out sometime this year. I don't there is a date, I don't know it. He just Drunk was a fantastic album, and he's a delightfully strange person that makes very cool, kind of pretty unique music right now. So, very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, I really like Thundercat. And Thundercat's gonna come up a little bit, I think, in our Mac Miller discussion, at least I definitely will. He's excellent and he makes very good music, like genre-less kind of. It's just a very fluid, like
Yeah.
good music to listen to. So I'm excited for Thundercat. That was one of the best concerts I've ever been to. I know we like do that on the pod is like it's really bad radio to be like, yeah, when I saw this person, it was sick. Remember when he like put those lights up? But honestly, it was that guy
Is
is great. He's so
about to
good.
go on tour, and yeah, I think
We had tickets
it's
to go
pretty.
see him. It was him and Mac Miller. We were gonna
Yeah.
go see them in Chicago.
Yeah, well, when we saw Thundercat, I think it was just like a three piece. So it was him, a guitarist,
Yeah.
and the drums. The drummer was, whoever was
Yes.
on that tour as the
Excellent.
drummer was
He was
incredible.
ripping it.
Thundercat's very good too, but oh my God.
Yeah, dude, Thundercat rocks. Very excited for that. I think that's a good pick in the top five. I didn't write down any honorable mentions, so if we get through this and there's a couple you want to shout out, obviously just bring it up. My number two, we
Yeah, I
just kind of
will.
talked about RTJ4. Run the Jewels are amazing. They're very politically woke. Woke is such a shitty word. I don't want to say that, but like they're very good at sparking not even controversy, but just like writing in very unique lines into rap. I'm very excited for that given the current state of the United States. and Killer Mike's affiliation for Hot Girls for Bernie.
Yeah, Killer Mike is the hottest
And
girl.
Killer Mike is the hottest Bernie girl. But yeah, I'm just excited for RTJ4. I think they're excellent. They're one of the most fun rap duos, just rappers in general, groups, rappers, artists out there.
I think the third album kind of straddled like the singles were coming out right before the election.
Right. Like we haven't actually had a full-blown political RTJ album. Like Post by Jeff
Yeah.
Rosenstock is what I want from RTJ4 in rap. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it'd be, yeah.
It's
I
not
don't really
overly
know.
like
Yeah, is you can read into it if you want, but it's still just kind of like punk.
Exactly.
I don't know if they'll be able to hit that balance
No, probably
given
not, but
they're pretty on the nose with a lot of their stuff,
yeah,
but
they're excellent.
yeah, I mean there's like Trump references on the third one, and it is kind of like there's some gloomier moments. But they also, when they were making it, kind of like didn't know exactly
Right.
that he was actually gonna win. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Right, number one.
I honestly hadn't really given that any thought,
Oh,
so.
that's my like biggest thing for this album. I also just love them, so I think if they didn't go politic forward, it'd be great regardless, 'cause they make excellent
Yeah.
music, but also they've never really released that version of them. And like on Twitter, like in the public like spectrum, that's what they like. At least Killer Mike is. He's very
Yeah,
political.
LP's more of a just
He's
like
just a guy who
a
smokes.
leave me alone,
Yeah,
let me smoke
he's an old man.
guy.
It's funny that, to like read his tweets and then see what he produces in music. 'Cause it's like I'd imagine that guy just like plays video games and makes shitty beats and tries to sell them to like his local high school guys that still are trying to be rappers. I don't know. He's great. I love LP. All right, number
right.
one, Smok.
So,
Redacted. We put this in our
yeah, this
agenda,
is.
and it which I liked, but then I'm like, I don't know what Mark's gonna say for number one.
It's not even secretive or anything. I just put like I only had
Redacted.
I only had like thought of two that I wanted, so I put like three of them redacted, and then so number one, I'm just gonna kind of scattershot, but every year for the past like 5 years, at the beginning of the year, I wake up and pray for a Captain Murphy full album again, and I don't think that's gonna happen, but that would be my absolute number one, the rapping alter ego of Fly Low. I think it probably won't happen this year, but this year or next year, Kendrick would be like the one that really gets me amped up.
Yeah, I think we're a year away from a Kendrick Lamar album.
I think that's kind of like my actual answer, but kind of hesitant because I don't.
We're
It,
currently.
if we did get it, it'd be like very late in this year. But like a couple I want to throw out,
Well,
just like.
we're in the off year for Kenny and Drake. They seem to bring all of the music they possibly can together within a 4 month period, and then they go dark. No one hears from them.
Oh, well, jumping off that, if we got a What a Time to Be Alive 2, because
Yeah.
there was speculation about that after Life is Good,
Yeah.
that would be
Yeah,
cool.
that'd
I
be
don't think
sweet.
that'd be my number one, but
But it'd be
so
interesting. It'd be fun.
kind of like, yeah, touching on like when I was looking at release schedules and stuff. Both of these acts put out release stuff a couple years ago or 3 years ago. And then last year, both put out live albums, which to me is
Yeah,
like a
keep your
nice
name popular.
stopgap.
Keep the streams.
Jeff Rosenstock
Oh, yeah.
and car seat headrest. I think I'd be very happy about getting an album from either of them this year.
I would love a Jeff album.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't that be fun? I would love to see him at another music festival. Hot damn, dude. That was like one of the best times I've ever had. That'd be a fun album to get this year, for sure. My number one is very speculative. So the other four, I'm fairly certain, are all confirmed. Number one is Frank Ocean. And I say Frank Ocean because, I mean, one, he's like one of the best artists of our generation, and he's just, all he does is release gold. But all those weird like videos and construction work and like weird
Dude,
paintings he
that
does,
is, thinking back on that is so funny.
it's really funny. It's really funny. He literally just put a live stream of someone building stairs and people watch that shit for hours. It's crazy the kind of like, I mean, what he brings and people just watch it. But anyway, I think there are very speculative rumors based on kind of all those things over the last 2 years that he might release the follow-up to Blonde this year.
Well, there's been like DHL and In My Room.
Yeah.
So he hasn't like gone completely like radio silent.
No, but he's also
So.
focusing a lot more on like his other projects. Like he's doing a lot more out of music, making music
Yeah.
stuff.
I hope you're right. I hope we get a Frank
Yeah,
album.
it'd
That
be
would be.
sick. I really could use it. It'd be awesome. So anyway, that's our top five each. I don't have any. Why can't I think of the word? Honorable
Honorable
mentions. Jeez,
mentions.
I'm having a tough time. These White Claws are hitting different. I've been
Ooh,
doing
what
Dry
flavor?
January except the last 2 weeks, so it's been, just trying to catch you up on my, drink.
I get a flavor check on those claws?
Yeah, sure. I got the raspberry.
Ooh, that's a good
Yeah, the
one.
raspberry is nice. This is when I started doing Dry January because I got a real rude awakening in my stocking for Christmas. My girlfriend, who the listeners don't know, and will remain nameless, my girlfriend got me a koozie that's made specifically to keep your White Claws insulated and cold. And I was like, oh, this is bad. That's a bad sign. I gotta.
Very thoughtful.
What?
Very
Oh,
thoughtful.
it's amazing. Like, what an amazing gift that this person gave to me. And now it's coming back out. We're at end of January. We're almost to spring. White Claws are back. But yeah, raspberry baby. I did have a natural lime before this, but that's only because it's like what's in my fridge. Yeah, we got her. All the other good ones go first. Natural lime is like missionary.
Somebody's got to drink them, though.
Someone has to do it. And that man is me tonight. So yeah, those are our five albums each. Should be a good year in music. We're gonna record more episodes. We're committed to the Instagram and Spotify. Let's get it. Big year for the buds. Episode 50. We should put a
Let's
mod a
do
model like a what's it a montage of all of our best moments, which are just me
it.
opening up every episode with "We're back after a brief
Yeah,
hiatus." Just 49 times. We're back. We're back. We're back.
brief hiatus
Brief
and
hiatus.
just triumph when we do two episodes in a row.
Oh yeah.
All right, before we get into this
Yeah.
album
Yeah.
discussion.
What's on your mind?
This is a bit of somewhat breaking, late breaking
Oh
news.
God.
Did you see the clip of 50 Cent at his Hollywood Star? He's got a star on the Walk of Fame now, so it's like this unveiling ceremony. Did you see the clip of it?
No.
So he's like giving his speech, and there's a part of it where he's talking about the Grammys and how he has the record for like the biggest hip hop debut, or he had at the time. I don't know if he still holds it, but he's like, yeah, and no Grammy trophy for best new artist, and he goes, "Fucking Evanescence got it."
What?
So he like
Yeah.
Evanescence, like that year, like won best new artist, I guess, and he's like bringing it up now to his like star unveiling, but he's saying Evanescence instead.
Oh, goodness.
And he's just like he said, he's like,
Yeah, they gave it to fucking Irvinescence and everybody laughs and you can like clearly see him like process it and he just like keeps, he's like, I don't see fucking Irvinescence here. I don't know if he like realized that he said it wrong or what, but it's so, it's
wow.
So funny.
Will you, do you have it pulled up?
Yeah, will you? I can play it.
No, well, just send it to me. Just,
I'll play it.
Don't play it.
If,
don't play it.
Let's see if this
works. Oh, it's going to sound...
No, it's going to sound...
Okay.
Can you hear that?
Yeah. Wow. Oh goodness!
Irvinescence.
Well,
isn't
is
so funny?
That's, you want to know what makes that way funnier? Is that didn't he bet Floyd Mayweather $1 million that Floyd couldn't read one page of Harry Potter?
Oh, you're right.
That's so good. That's rich. That's rich, rich comedy.
Yeah, but Floyd would not be able to
no.
come close to pronouncing Evanescence.
No,
he would
see Evanescence and just like,
yeah. That word's got like 10 letters.
Close the page. Dude, speaking of spelling, so we had a spelling bee tonight at, or this afternoon, I guess, at work. And the word.
What?
What?
You said that very casually. Like, that's a normal thing.
Well, I work in a WeWork, so they do like things to try to get all of the. They try to get do things to get all the people together and like meet all the other, you know. Entrepreneurs.
That's the worst advertisement for a WeWork I've ever heard.
I mean, I've got some other weird stuff. We've got like kombucha on tap. Got an espresso machine. No wonder this company has no money. You know, like.
Yeah.
Not surprising. But anyway, it's really hard to spell words in a microphone in front of a lot of people. Like, I know how to spell. I had the word prerogative. And I couldn't spell it. Like, I know how to spell prerogative, but I just, like, totally blanked, and I lost. And I was like, that sucks. Speaking in front of all those people trying to spell is very tough. Now I get what those kids go through. Those are athletes.
Those are athletes.
Yeah.
So many good spelling bee clips out there.
Dude, it's tough. Right. Anyway, let's get into it. I just wanted to bring that up while we talk about Irvinescence. That's very funny. Fitty. Yeah, so let's talk about Mac Miller. He released, or his family, the estate of Mac Miller, released Circles on January 17th. It's the posthumous album, follow-up to 2018 album's Swimming. Very similar thematically. It deals a lot with depression, anxiety, learning to grow with that, overcoming it, dealing with it, how to get out of it, lots of different stuff. Maybe a more optimistic version of that album, but similar. And yeah, that's honestly the only good thing that's come out this year, and I think definitely worth talking to, which is what got us out of the got the old microphone out of the attic to get us to do the pod.
Put it all the way up in the attic.
No, I didn't have an attic.
Yeah, I think. So I've seen it been described as like a complimentary piece to Swimming. I think that description originally came from either his estate or John Brion, the producer that was working alongside him on this. And yeah, like you said, thematically very similar and sound-wise it's very similar too. It's kind of that... groove he was heading towards in where it's, I wouldn't say it's like all him singing, but it's closer towards the spectrum of singing than rapping or even like singing song rapping. There's like very little rapping, but it's like nice and melodic and very laid back. But very like, it deals with anxiety and depression, but it's definitely more forward looking and it's overall more like not necessarily positive all the time, but kind of like, you know, there is like a future to like look forward to, at least. And like, you can kind of, you know, like, it's not all of this, and we will kind of get through this.
Yeah.
So
it's an optimistic version of that. And kind of like, I mean, as the album states, it's a circle, it's a loop. We go from the bad days to the good days, dealing with that stuff. And yeah, we get through it. I was tweeting about this earlier today, but like, what's really sad and tragic, and not the only thing, there's a lot of things that are sad and tragic about Mac Miller's death. But like, we are seeing such an evolution for Mac that this last album plus Swimming really felt like he was finding himself and settling into his niche in like the music industry, both as an artist himself and like as a curator, a collaborator, a supporter, kind of like an incubator kind of guy. You hear all these stories about how he would have people in his studio and just stay up late with them, like helping them like hone their craft. And it's really amazing. And it's after you hear these last two things that are just so pure and good, it's like tough to swallow that we don't get to hear more new stuff. That like maybe his family will release more random compilations, you know, like the Michael Jackson estate version. Yeah. They just like send out clips of him singing and then other artists use it. I hope that's not the case.
Right.
But yeah, it's really sad because this was, the last two are just crazy good, I think. And to your point, are much more songwriting heavy and more singing. Very indie. It's mm-hmm. more live instruments. It's less hip hop.
Yeah, there's not like any loops or anything.
No.
It's all, yeah.
It's really
like, very, very like, I guess like when you say like fleshed out instruments, like I think more like full and lush, and that's, it's not necessarily like that, but the arrangements like kind of change throughout the course of the songs, and you get like stuff coming in and out and like different riffs and like chord changes, so they're like very like thought out. And I don't know if he's writing those arrangements or not, but it is like a cool sound that, like, you know, I would never have expected to hear out of Mac Miller even like 4 years ago. So.
Right, and I think that has so much to do with him just surrounding himself with other artists. Because I hear a lot of Anderson .Paak, Free Nationals, and Thundercat on this.
Mm-hmm.
It's very Flying Lotus. It's all very chill, wavy, good vibes.
Like, it's not quite lo-fi, but
right
in that direction.
Yeah.
You kind of touched on it. I honestly, like, I really, really like this album, but I don't want to have a ton to say. Kind of looking at my notes now, but you kind of touched on it earlier with the estate releasing things potentially, and that's like when I saw that they had announced like, oh, a new Mac Miller album's coming out, I was immediately skeptical, just because you know, like, you don't know if they're just kind of, you don't know the reason, I guess. So like, you don't know how far along until you actually hear it. And I think this was fairly far along, but
yeah, I mean, it sounds very put together.
Yeah,
it really does sound almost complete,
yeah,
as much as a complete finished work that it could have been.
Yeah, it is an interesting, like, just some thoughts I had is like, you know, you hear artists just like tinkering to the end, and I don't know if Mac Miller was specifically known to do that, but so I was just like thinking about, like, you know, an album in this stage, like what an artist would kind of do to finish it up. It's like the arrangement of tracks and kind of the order, like if they want to add or drop tracks, and like, you know, the final song amount, and just like, are like all the tracks finished, and were they, you know, finished in some way after he passed? Is like, I don't think we're ever gonna like have those answers, but it is like kind of something to think
about. I've always wondered that in like a it's tough to even think about. But yeah, I've always wondered, what does the family do with, is it done? Do they go put someone in the studio to finish it? Like, how does that even work?
Yeah, were there like notes that they found that was like, oh, this is the track list, or, you know, how, cause you saw there's a news article about Juice WRLD has like 2,000 unreleased tracks, wow, which are obviously going to be in varying states of completion. So like, what do you,
right, what do you do?
What do you do? Like, do you feel like you have an obligation to try and sift through for like,
yeah, and find the ones,
the fans, or like what? Yeah, like how do you handle that? But,
well, it's got to be tough to navigate.
Yeah, so I think like, yeah, well, like with all those kind of questions like up in the air, I think this album came out fantastic.
Oh, it's really good. It's really good, and I think that has a lot to say. I think it was probably almost a completed work. Mm-hmm. I bet he, a lot of swimming in this album were concepted at similar times, and this came second in the actual production, yeah, of it.
That's a good point.
And then, yeah, his family, I think it was his mom in particular, said like Malcolm would have wanted everyone to hear this because it completes the other part, which is just like, yeah, really sad. Yeah. It's really sad. That's really all I've got. I think what's, I mean, maybe just closing note conversation about this is, maybe just because we're older now, like in our later 20s, the celebrity death and like the musician death is hitting me a lot harder. Because like after someone passes, it seems like, especially in the music industry, because you can do this, but you read a lot more of their lyrics and more deeply, and like you see things, you're more honed in on certain stuff, and it's like, this person was like crying for help for years in some of these lyrics, and mm-hmm. It's like, how come it took us so long to really dive into it? Because like these last two albums are very like, I just need a way out of my head. I'll do anything for a way out of my head. What else is there to say? Half the time, I don't even know what I'm saying. Sorry. Like, there's just so many things. You're like, oh my God. Yeah. It's like painful to hear a person go through this stuff.
I do. I agree with all that. Like, yeah, like a lot of that hits, like the passings and stuff hit a lot harder now. Yeah, going back to like kind of my skepticism at the announcement of this, and then on the release day when I kind of read the initial reactions from people who were like, no, this is like a very good album. I was kind of like, oh, I mean, I was kind of hoping it was going to be a cash grab, just, you know, so I wouldn't have to.
Yeah, it's almost like you don't have to.
Yeah,
feel that way if you know it's that.
Yeah, so I you know, sucked it up and listened, and I honestly, like, in like a kind of strange sense, I guess, I find it like a very comforting album, I guess.
Yeah.
Because there is like, it's very bittersweet, but it is like, yeah, if this were the release were reversed hypothetically, and this came out and then he passed and then Swimming came out, I think it would be,
it'd be a lot more not tragic sounding.
Would not be able
it'd
to
be
listen
bad.
To Swimming, but this is, it's like, this is, Circles is like kind of like a comfort mm-hmm. listen to me, because you can find like the nuggets in like what he's saying, where you know that he wasn't completely like enveloped by it all.
Yeah,
like he was still like, had positive like outlooks and was finding like the good in life. So,
I think that is all true, all fair.
Yeah, I don't have like a whole lot more to say, otherwise I'm gonna get broken up here, but it's a very good album.
Yeah,
I'm very happy it was released, I guess.
Yeah, I'm happy it was released. I think it's very good. I think it's going to be at top of my power rankings for a while here to start the year.
Yeah, already making those predictions. Let's go.
Yeah, let's get it, baby. I'm starting Monday. I will be releasing my power ranking top 10 albums weekly. committed to it. Just like NFL teams. Okay. There's a, here you move up and down. But yeah, I think it's appropriate to end our 50th episode in the 50th minute. So that does it. We'll get back to it next week. We'll probably talk a little bit about Kesha. She's releasing an album Friday, probably when everyone is listening to this. The bots are listening to it. And we'll probably talk about, I'm sure something else will come out that'll be worthwhile. So see you, earbuds.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, holler.